Welcome in this morning to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards. I think Dr. Ben Edwards has something really good for us today. Measles.
Yes, we're going to get into measles. I do want to say, I'm sorry, last week I think there's a little mix-up on my end. When I recorded Dr. Day's interview, we did something technologically wrong. So I think the streaming folks couldn't hear it last week. But it should be up on our website. If it's not, it will be real shortly. Dr. John Day, it was a great interview.
And what was that over?
His book, The Longevity Plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an I reference that book probably daily when I'm talking to patients because he so clearly shows how diet and lifestyle are at the root of everything, mm-hmm. not the genetics. So he was sick. He's a cardiologist in Utah, and he was sicker than a dog on 8 different prescriptions, and he was only in his mid-40s. And he went to China to lecture because he could speak Chinese. He was lecturing over there to his colleagues in China, and the cardiologist over there tried to tell him about diet and lifestyle and then told him about this village. The Longevity Village is the nickname. And it's where this group of Chinese folks live to be like 110, 115, but healthy. No disease, no nursing homes, active, living, going, doing. Mm-hmm. And so everyone always assumed they were some weird genetic variant that made them live that long and healthy. So he went and observed their diet and their lifestyle and everything about how they lived, and then he drew their blood and he looked for the genes that predisposed to breast cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's and all the different diseases that kill Americans. And they had all those genes, but they didn't have the diseases. So it was just
Isn't that interesting?
There's many examples like this, but that was a really good example of it's all about the diet and lifestyle. This huge onslaught of chronic disease that Americans have been hit with over the past 70 years is not genetic. Genes are there. They play a role, but they have to be turned on. The bad genes have to be turned on. That was the point, that the folks in China have these genes that code for all these diseases, but they just keep them turned off. And you keep them turned off by your diet and your lifestyle. Mostly eat real food and keep your stress very low and keep your toxic burden low. In a nutshell, that's what it is. But
easier said than done.
Yes, it is. But it's good to remind everybody of that and to prove it and to bring on guests that prove it. So go back and listen to Dr. Day's interview on our archives. Because it's a great one. He's a great guy.
It's good
to
listen to that stuff like that over and over to keep remotivating yourself.
Yes, it is. And because you're not going to hear it from anywhere else. You're not going to hear it from your neighbors and your church and your mm-mm. school and your news and your U.S. congressman and, you know, our culture. Everything that defines our culture, you're probably not going to hear it.
Well, it's like I said, this show is like health church.
Yeah. Well, we got deceived some time ago, years ago. So would that make me the health preacher?
Yeah. Well, heck yeah. I think everybody would agree with that.
You know, when I was in college, I knew I was supposed to be a doctor, but I didn't want to spend that many years in med school.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
And yeah. training and internship and residency mm-hmm. and debt, all the mountain of school debt. And so I was looking for other things to do instead of doing what God called me to do. But coaching / teacher or preacher, those were my other two things I thought about.
Well, I think you're kind of all that.
Yeah, I do kind of get to do all that. That's never thought of that. Anyways, but somewhere along the line, way back when, influenced by money, is my opinion, we got off track with the truth. And we started being told certain things that just it wasn't the full truth. And now we're way down the road. Like most people think there's only two choices, suffer from your disease or take a drug. I mean, I just read an article in the local news as last week, a big fundraiser at Teddy Jack's for lupus. There's to help find a cure to lupus, and they're even bringing some researchers from Tech. And I'm not speaking negative. I know their heart's in the right place. Totally, their motivation's good to help these folks and lupus is a horrible disease and lots of suffering with lupus. But I told my wife, man, I kind of want to just go to Teddy Jack's politely and in love, say, guys, there's already a cure. And the cure you're looking for, another cure in a pill, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. You can spend millions and billions, as we have, on all these cures in a pill, and it's just not going to happen. Because you can't fix with a synthetic man-made chemical, a silver bullet, one magic pill thing, to fix a multifactorial thing that's created by diet and lifestyle.
Yeah.
You can't fix it in a pill. You can manage the symptoms. So let's stop saying let's cure. Let's race for a cure, walk for a cure, play bingo for a cure, or go to Teddy Jack's for a cure. It's not going to be a cure. There may be a better way to manage it. We may be able to find, a man-made pharmaceutical chemical agent that's foreign to a human physiology that could tamp the symptoms down, get that butterfly rash on the cheeks of these lupus patients, get the arthritis, get the fatigue, get the other symptoms to calm down without as much side effect as what the current drugs do. Maybe we might be able to find a way to treat the symptom a little better with less side effect. Probably not, but maybe. But that's not a cure. And there is no cure in a pill, because the cure is in the body, and that's the name of this radio show, is You're the Cure. Each one of us has the cure already inside of us. These diseases were caused by diet and lifestyle, so the cure is diet and lifestyle. We need to just be honest about that, and that's the point of Dr. Day's book, and many other books, and many other doctors out there besides me trying to shout this message. But it's not mainstream. It's not in the medical school curriculum. Hopefully tech will pick it up soon and put it on at the forefront of their curriculum, not just some small piece or an elective or something like that. But mostly the public needs to be aware. Let the public choose. So put all the choices out there, and then that's full informed consent. And then if you want to take a pill to treat a symptom that's going to have some side effect, totally fine. That is totally fine. But I bet if you went to Teddy Jack's and asked all the people at that fundraiser for lupus, did you know there's this third option of fix it, let the body fix it, and your diet lifestyle choices can greatly impact this disease process and potentially put it into remission. And that's been proven over and over and over, and it happens every day at functional medicine clinics. Probably all those people there would say, no, I had no idea. So that's what my beef is, that people have no idea. It drives me crazy. It keeps me up at night. And it's why I'm driving 3 hours to Artesia on Thursday to give a talk, to inform them. I want to inform everybody there's this third option of address the root cause, which is diet and lifestyle, and potentially put your disease, quote-unquote disease, into remission. So let's get informed consent. Let's tell everybody the cure is out there, but it's not in a pill. So there's my little soapbox for a minute.
You know, it'd be good as if somehow you could get into the public school system and talk to kids.
Yeah.
You know, even at middle school, high school level, because if you can start them out early.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, even just talking to my kids as friends, even a little bit about it, how their mindset is already that set that, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'm young, I can eat what I want.
Yeah.
Or, which
I hear it all the time. And that's what Dr. Day said in his interview. He was still under that thought, which most people are, that I can eat whatever I want and just go work out at the end of the day to burn it off.
Yeah.
Well, you can't burn off glyphosate, the main ingredient Roundup that's in all our food. You can't burn off all these processed chemical-like substances that are in our food. We've got to nourish the cell, and the cell needs real food. And if you're not going to feed it real food, then it won't work right. And if it's not working right, it will manifest symptoms that we call disease. But yeah, that whole concept is so foreign to people. And I've been to a number of schools. Mostly it's private, but I've been to a few public. And they'll get it. I mean, I was at Plainview Christian Academy a few weeks ago, and I went last year for the first time. And so this was my second trip. And the leader of that school was telling me how those kids, a lot of them got it, and she could hear them talking to each other later throughout the year about, well, how many grams of sugar in that? Because I taught them to look on the label and try to keep sugar to single digits on your packaged foods. If you're going to eat packaged foods, which I realize people are, at least let's look at the ingredients and know what you're putting in your mouth, and then try to keep the sugar content low. So they remember that magic number of 10, and they use that rule of thumb. And so, I mean, they got it. And when I went and asked them all these questions, they answered it right. They answered a lot of those questions right. So they'll get it if it's presented. It just has to be presented the right way. And one good way is to hold up a Pop-Tart and a Powerade, because that's what some of these kids were eating for breakfast. Yep. And so you get them to do that little rule of thumb, flip the package over, read the ingredients, how many grams of sugar. And the Powerade, I want to say, was like 38 or 40 grams of sugar. And the Pop-Tart was right there with it, like 34 grams of sugar. So they were pushing 70 or 80 grams just at quote-unquote breakfast.
And you have to be careful. Even like, you know, people think, okay, I'll buy an organic brand, but it's still got a bunch of sugar in it.
You can go buy a Naked Juice and granola bar and think you're healthy, or yogurt, and still you'll be pushing 80 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's there's a lot of education that needs to happen. But that's what we're here for. That's why we do what we do. And I try not to get too much into controversial things. As if saying lupus has a cure isn't controversial.
But, I was gonna say,
but the whole vaccine thing is the most controversial thing. For some reason, that's really been we've been
lately.
Yeah, we've been pitted against each other as a society. The ones that want to protect their kids by not vaccinating, the ones that want to protect their kids by vaccinating, and we end up hating each other. But the whole measles thing, it's gotten to a point I can't be quiet anymore on it, because it's just so crazy, the media attention, the fear-mongering media attention, the quarantining of students at universities in California. I just want to bring a little perspective and a little bit of truth. That's what Veritas stands for, is truth. And just remind people of a few things. So one thing, and I get reminded every day, because we take a very thorough history on all our patients that come see us. And so anyone who's a little more mature, a little older than me, when we go back, we go all the way back to their birth history. We want to know how old their mom was when she conceived and carried this patient. Was she healthy? And was it a vaginal or cesarean delivery? Because that matters for your future health if you were born cesarean, because that's where you get your gut flora from, is from your mom's birth canal. We want to know if their breasts are bottle fed. We want to know if they had an antibiotic in the first year of life, because that impacts your future health. We want to know how many rounds of antibiotic they had in their first 5 years. We want to know if they were a colicky baby. We want to know if they had the routine childhood illnesses, is how we phrase our question. Did you have your routine childhood illnesses? And our more mature patients say, oh, yeah, I had measles, mumps, I had chicken pox, I had all the usual stuff. And they say it just like that, the usual stuff. And it wasn't a big deal.
There wasn't a panic.
Just like I'm going to tell people, yeah, I had the usual, I had chicken pox. You know, I'm old enough that I had chicken pox. And it was not a big deal at all. You got these little whelps on you, and you itched, and you had a fever, and you were sick for a week, and you stayed home from school, and that was it. And everyone told you the same thing. Good thing you got this now. It's better to get it as a kid than an adult. I remember that as a kid, everyone saying that. And that's it. But I bet if we give it another 10 or 15 years, just because chicken pox has the name pox in it, people are going to be so deathly afraid of it, because smallpox, and that's a pox, and chicken pox is a pox, and probably they're similar, and oh no, I'm going to die from chicken pox, better get the vaccine. And people are going to forget how benign chicken pox was.
Yeah, well, they used to have parties, right, where they'd take kids.
Still do, and I've been reminded, I didn't go through the measles as a kid, I'm not that old. But all my old patients say, yeah, no big deal at all. I was sick for a week. You stayed home. And then one of my colleagues told me to go look up the Brady Bunch episode where they talked about, and I've got a screenshot. I'm going to put it on our, in our newsletter this month. I'm looking at it right now. It's one of the Brady kids.
That's funny.
And she said, if you have to get sick, sure can't beat the measles. Meaning I get to stay home from school for a week, and it's not a big deal. It's a benign, innocuous childhood illness. It's, gives you a little fever, and you're sick for a week. So measles was no big deal. Mm-hmm. Just as chicken pox was no big deal. Especially when you have it as a kid. But here's some of the reality we need to bring to the news headlines that you're not going to read in the newspaper or hear on the nightly news. Let me pull these up. I'm writing my newsletter this year. So, or this month about this. No one has died from measles one person in the last 13 years is recorded to have died from measles. This one person was vaccinated, but they were on immunosuppressive drugs. Immunosuppressive drugs suppress your immune system. Why would you suppress your immune system? Most likely, it doesn't say in this article, but most likely it's because she had an autoimmune disease like lupus, like rheumatoid arthritis, like ulcerative colitis, psoriasis, multiple sclerosis. The list goes on and on. Autoimmune disease, some estimates are there's 150 million cases of autoimmune disease in the United States. Your own immune system getting so screwed up, mm-hmm. it turns on itself and starts to attack its own tissue with these antibodies. So probably she had an autoimmune disease, this one person that died from measles in the past 13 years. An average of 13 children in the United States per year die from the measles vaccine. Did you read about that in the paper? Did you hear about that on the CBS News when they're fear-mongering you? And that's 415 deaths from the MMR vaccine since 1989 that we know of. That's what's been reported by the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, also known as VAERS. So there's a reporting system set up by our government, established here in this country, to report vaccine injuries. Not only death, but injuries. So 415 deaths from the MMR is what you can pull out of that VAERS reporting system since 1989. However, it's estimated that only 1% of vaccine injuries are reported into that system. And why would that be? Because doctors don't even know it exists, much less patients. I graduated from UT Houston Medical School in 2002 and a Waco family practice residency in 2005. And I didn't even know this vaccine injury reporting system existed. And if you went and asked 100 doctors in Lubbock, probably 99 out of 100 wouldn't know either.
Yeah.
Much less the patients know. So who knows what the real numbers are? It's estimated only 1% of reactions are reported, and of that, there's 415 deaths from the measles shot.
Okay, to the text line we go. Jennifer wants to know, what are your thoughts about the HPV vaccine? My daughter is due for it this year, but I'm seriously considering not giving it to her. Thank you.
That's a whole show all by itself. And I think you really, really, really need to do your research. In fact, look up the adverse reactions. That's going to be my answer to Jennifer. Look up on Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System's website, VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. I don't know the website, so just do an internet search on that. And injuries from HPV. Just do that. I will try to get an expert of HPV vaccine injury on the show. So we can have a nice, thorough discussion of
that. That's the Gardasil, right?
Gardasil for cervical cancer.
I never did give my girls that. I remember my sister, she works for Kaiser, I believe it is, in Springfield, Virginia. And that's her job, is to administer those vaccines. And she's all pro-vaccine. But she had told me when it first came out, she goes, don't give it yet.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
You've got to look at risk and benefit. If the vaccine will decrease cervical cancer death rates more than it injures, because there's always going to be injuries with vaccines, because there's, it's not just saline, sterile saline, and a little bit of virus particle in there. If they did just saline and virus shot into your muscle, you would not get an antibody response. And the whole point of the shot is to get an antibody response. We want your immune system to make antibodies to that virus. But if you just did saline and virus, you will not get an antibody response, because that's not how our immune system works. So they have to add other ingredients into the vaccine. They're called adjuvants. Aluminum is one. Mercury is one. There's glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup.
And that's to stir up the immune system.
Yes. There is the chemical that makes up antifreeze is in the vaccines. But there's 30 different ingredients exactly to stimulate, aggravate, provoke the immune response more.
Am I just doomed because I've had more vaccines?
You are. Army. Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, we would get a ton.
I would get MMR almost on a yearly basis. And so my question is back to the MMR shot. If you've had it once, do you need to have it over and over again?
No.
I don't think so. Because I remember they would give it yellow fever, MMR.
It depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to increase your risk of all these adverse reactions and autoimmune disease, Now, what they're going to tell you is to keep your antibody titers up. So here's another point we need to bring out that's not mentioned enough in the news, is vaccines produce a temporary immunity, where the original, I'll call it a vaccine, the original plan, God's original design, what the Brady Bunch group, they got lifelong immunity. If you got measles naturally, you have lifelong immunity. Those antibodies will be with you forever until you die. If you had immunity via a shot, then there's a great chance you're not going to have lifelong
immunity. Like every 5 years I had to get.
Your antibodies will go down over time. And so you get a booster.
Could you refuse those in the military or no?
No. In fact, the only thing that, I mean, there were some soldiers that got to refuse the smallpox vaccination, which we eradicated smallpox back in the early 70s. But they started inoculating soldiers going to Iraq thinking we would come in contact with weaponized smallpox. We thought Saddam Hussein had weaponized it and had gotten a strain of it. And that was a very dangerous shot. Some soldiers had taken, especially the older soldiers, had taken it. And they immediately, within a day or two, went into cardiac arrest and died from it. And then the Army said, okay, maybe we ought to not do that with the older guys. Or if you had eczema, if you had any kind of skin problem, you take the smallpox vaccination, it could have a massive negative reaction.
Yeah.
But I took that too, and I took anthrax, and I took all this stuff, and that, I guess that's why I'm so jacked up now. I don't know.
Are you jacked up?
I think emotionally I'm unstable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In my professional opinion.
Define jacked up.
Now, I will tell you that in that scenario, you can make a case for, if you know you're going into an environment where that potentially you're going to have an exposure like that, and it's a weaponized thing, that's actually a debatable, I mean, you can make a case for that, because you are going to create some antibodies to the virus temporarily, and that can save your life in that situation. But what my point on this is, measles, just like chickenpox, has always been a benign, innocuous disease, not a big deal. And if we would not have messed with it, here's what would have happened. Here's what was happening, but not anymore. That's why we're seeing some of these kind of epidemic breakouts. If you were born, you know, pre-measles shot, your mom would have had measles. She passes those antibodies that she has in her, because remember, you have it for life now. So when your mama had measles when she was 7, and then she gets pregnant at 21, those antibodies get passed to the baby in utero and through the breast milk. And so that baby's totally protected in the most vulnerable time, which is your first year or two of life when your immune system's trying to grow and build and mature.
And that's when they give all the vaccines.
Yeah, and get the immune system's maturation off track. But that's how it naturally would have happened. Your mom passes antibodies to you as a baby. You're totally protected the first year or two. And then you quit breastfeeding. Those antibodies from mama stay in you for 5, 6, 7 years. So you're still protected in those preschool years. And then you hit first, second grade. Measles comes through town and you catch measles just like everybody else does in first or second grade. It's a fever and a rash and some sores and no big deal. In a week, you're back at school. And you now have lifelong immunity for the rest of your life, for the next 80 or 90 years. You're immune. And that's how it just kept going, round and round and round. Mamas pass it to babies. Babies' antibodies go away about 7 years old, and they get it naturally. And then they have antibodies for life. That, like, if you were going to design a vaccine program, that would be like the perfect design. Well, it was already in place. It was already perfect. And we screwed it up. So now mamas have babies. Moms don't have immunity. They pass nothing to their baby. The baby gets a shot and has temporary immunity, maybe. 10% of the kids, it doesn't take at all. So you have this temporary immunity for a number of years, and then it kind of starts to wear off, because in a number of these outbreaks, half the people are vaccinated. Pertussis in particular. Pertussis is mutated so much. A lot of these folks are vaccinated. Well, how can they be vaccinated and be getting measles and pertussis? It's because it's a temporary immunity and not a perfect immunity at that. The original way of doing it was the perfect way of doing it. So we got way off course. We thought we were doing something good, and now it's such a money play.
Well, do you believe or buy into that? I know that we've talked to experts on your show before, and if I recall correctly, you had an expert, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he was on the air with us back about 6-8 months ago, and he was part of that Vaxxed movie and all that stuff.
Right.
And he was arguing on the show about, you know, the connection to autism, and we've seen autism exploding.
Yep.
But he was basically saying, well, it's not just if a kid gets a vaccine. His theory was, if you remember, doctor, he said, just because you get MMR doesn't mean your child is going to be an autistic child.
It's got to be the perfect storm.
He said it's the genetic code. And he was talking about a test. There was some test that parents could give their kids prior to the vaccination to say, whoa, wait a minute. Susie can have the vaccination. Doesn't look like she's going to be affected at all. But you give it to Johnny,
right?
He could have a severe allergic. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
and we've actually interviewed a number of guests regarding the immune system, autoimmunity, vaccinations, autism, and the whole interplay there. But what you're referring to is J.B. Handley in his book, How to End the Autism Epidemic, and that was from a couple of months ago. People can go look up that interview. I think one of the best.
J.B. Handley. So look it up on your site.
One of the best we've done. And his point was that Dr. Zimmerman, who has notoriously been the expert witness at this vaccine injury court, not only is there a reporting system that nobody knows about, but there's a compensation court set up by the government because you can't sue a vaccine company anymore. In the 1980s, Ronald Reagan signed a law that said it indemnified the vaccine companies that can't be sued for any injuries, which, by the way, since that time, the number of vaccines have skyrocketed.
Injuries.
Just the number of vaccines
given.
Oh, just
the number of the total.
It was a handful back then, and then once they were free from any potential liability, now they're totally off the hook. There's a whole lot of vaccines. But so Zimmerman is a physician who has always testified on behalf of the government to say, no, this kid's injury, whether it be autism or something, it could be any injury, it could be seizures, epilepsy, whatever. He's been the one that they call to be the expert, and he says yay or nay, and usually it's nay. No, that vaccine did not cause autism. No, that vaccine did not cause this kid's autism. Until that fateful day when Dr. Zimmerman's own junior doctor, colleague, and I think they're at Hopkins, I forget where exactly they're at, but Dr. Pauling had a baby girl, Hannah, and Hannah got injured I don't know if it's MMR, but it was one of the vaccines, injured Hannah. And Dr. Zimmerman said, yes, Hannah's autism was caused by the vaccine. And that's where I like to just remind everyone who's still debating that whole thing, can a vaccine cause autism? Of course it can. It's already been proven, delineated, admitted to, found guilty, whatever. But Zimmerman's point was, yes, in Hannah's case, it caused autism. But it's because she was predisposed. And the predisposition in her case was MTHFR. That's the initials for methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. She had a genetic mutation that in an enzyme that helps with methylation. Methylation is a process in the body that does lots of things. Helps make your energy, but also helps detoxify you, your detox pathways. So Hannah just had a genetic mutation that predisposed her to not be able to handle this big dose of toxicity all at one time. Yes, her immune system was very immature at day of life one when you get your first shot. And then at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 12 months, her immune system was very immature. And then with this genetic MTHFR mutation, boom, it was a perfect storm. So Zimmerman admitted it, said it was because of this predisposition. And what that MTHFR does to not only Hannah, but a lot of people have this MTHFR mutation, it keeps your mitochondria from being fully functional. So your cell can't make energy appropriately. We've talked about mitochondria for a million hours on this radio show. And the mitochondria is the carburetor that makes your energy for every cell in your body, your brain cell, your immune system cell, your gut cell, your liver cell, your detox pathway, all your cells. For that cell to work, it's got to make enough energy to do its job, but it's also got to clear the exhaust. Now, what's the exhaust? Well, when you make energy, you also make what's called free radicals. Free radicals will damage you, will damage your cell membrane, your DNA, will just damage you, cause inflammation, oxidative stress, and hurt your cell. So the body has a way to deal with free radicals. They're called antioxidant enzymes, and they just put out this fire, these sparks of free radicals. So free radicals are just normal, natural byproducts of energy production, but also there's toxins from your outside world that you breathe them in, you soak them in through your skin, you ingest them in your diet, or they get put into you on purpose in a vaccine. And these toxins, if your cell is making enough energy, it can clear that debris, those toxins too.
Glyphosate and stuff.
Like glyphosate and antifreeze that are in the vaccines and aluminum. But Hannah Pauling couldn't clear it, partly because of this MTHFR, which is, you can get a blood test at your doctor's office to tell you if you have this. But that MTHFR mutation will cause you to not make energy as well, not clear exhaust as well, and therefore you're more susceptible to injury.
In her case, is there any way to go back and reverse that?
Yes, just like J.B. Handley said in his interview, his son got injured also at a very young age, and his son is 16 years old now and highly functional. Now, in a conventional setting, no. I had two new autistic kids 2 weeks ago come into our practice as new patients. Very hard and sad week for me because, I mean, I love kids. I love all people, but kids in particular. They're so innocent, and there's so much potential, and God put them into this world for a reason. But these kids were going to a conventional doctor, and no, the answer to your question would be no. They're not recoverable. There's nothing you can do. We will manage them. When they get too unruly, we'll sedate them. We'll give them pharmaceuticals to basically, you know, if they start acting like ADD, we'll give them an ADD med. If they're acting depressed, we'll give them antidepressant. If they're acting just crazy, we'll give them an antipsychotic or a downer, a benzodiazepine, which is a downer. Just put them to sleep, basically. So you just manage all the symptoms with pharmaceuticals in the conventional world. In the integrative and functional world, there's a ton you can do. And that's what J.B. Handley was talking about. He went to the pediatrician, I think it's Stanford, or maybe it's, well, I forget where, go back and listen to the interview, but his conventional pediatrician, and that was the answer. Nope, nothing to do. 2 miles down the road, there's another doctor who was an integrative doctor and said, oh yeah, there's tons you can do. And that was a defining moment for this father and the mother when it became so crystal clear. Whoa, wait a minute. my pediatrician at the institution of higher education at this medical center that I've entrusted the care of my child to doesn't even have a clue that there's something you can do to improve brain function in an autistic kid. And there's this other doctor 5 miles down the road that's saying there's a ton you can do. What is up with this? How can there be such a dichotomy here? So, of course, J.B. Hanley chose the physician who said there was a lot to do. And now J.B. Hanley's son is highly functional. I encourage
but
all.
But not cured.
No, not cured now.
But better off than just prescribing lorazepam.
Like he can talk and he can read and he can interact and he'll hold a job, maybe graduate from college. Highly functional. Now, some kids who are injured, if the injury isn't as severe, because autism is a spectrum disorder, we call it, meaning there's this wide spectrum of symptoms. You can just barely have a few symptoms.
What are the symptoms?
They're wide and varied, but initially it's failure to progress with their developmental milestones. Okay. So the normal things the baby will be doing, playing patty cake, saying hi, playing with objects, passing an object from hand to hand, starting to learn more words.
They don't like to be touched, right?
Right. A lot of them have tactile issues, sensitivity to touch or with their mouth in particular, and food in particular. One of the kids we saw last week, just he won't eat certain things because of the consistency and the texture of the food. So there'll be sensory issues. A lot of times there's self-hitting and what we call flapping, where it's just a lot of repetitive movements with the hands. It can be, or stimming. So it's like beating your hand against yourself or beating your head against the wall.
They kind of rock back and forth.
A lot of them will rock back and forth. But again, it's a whole spectrum. Some kids, it's just a little bit of verbal delay in their verbal. But some kids, it's full-blown. They're non-communicative. You can't talk. They can't talk to you. You can't get across anything to them. And they're just, they're non-functional, totally non-functional. So it's a whole spectrum. So if you're over here on the spectrum, if you're more mild to moderate, you do some of these integrative techniques, you could say cured. I mean, these kids, over time, you can't even tell anything's ever happened to them. Mm-hmm. Now, the ones way over on the other end of the spectrum, if you just get them to where they're calm, and they can sit in the waiting room at your office without beating their head on the wall and screaming and yelling and hitting themselves, and they can feed themselves and even say a word or two. I mean, that's a pretty big leap, and that's what we've seen with some of our patients. But we probably need to take a break here in a sec, but Hannah Pauling's case, the main point I want to bring out, MTHFR is the test you're talking about, and it will predispose you to not only vaccine injury, but all sorts of other things, because it causes your mitochondria to not work right. Well, there's a bunch of things that cause your mitochondria to not work right, and mostly that's your diet and your lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you're not going to exercise, you don't bring oxygen to the mitochondria. If you're not going to eat real food, you eat all sugar and chemicals, all that gunks up your carburetor. So there's lots of things that'll predispose you to mitochondrial dysfunction that can manifest as a vaccine injury or other things too.
We'll take the quick break, and then we'll be right back with more with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Welcome back into You're the Cure, right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for past archived programs, veritasmedical.com. Okay, right back at it. Got about 15 minutes left or 10 minutes left in the show.
Well, my main message here is I just want people to calm down and take a deep breath and get all the facts. And like I always say, informed consent. Get fully informed and just be reminded that 400 plus people have died from the MMR vaccine versus one that has died from measles. And the one was immunocompromised drug taker and was fully vaccinated. So just calm down. Take a chill pill. There's lots of evidence, which, again, fully informed consent, your doctor should tell you that there are multiple studies that are published in reputable journals that talk about how children that have gone through the, quote, usual, typical childhood febrile illnesses, measles, mumps, pertussis, chickenpox, these typical illnesses all children used to get and would spike a fever, later in life, these kids have less non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, less Hodgkin's lymphoma, less glioblastoma. These are cancers, different cancers. Less cardiovascular disease. There's something about training the immune system early in life with these febrile illnesses, the innocuous childhood illnesses. When the body gets to see these viruses, gets to fight them off naturally, and develops lifelong natural immunity, there's some benefit that's incurred to that immune system for later in life. We don't fully understand this, but it's well documented and well studied that this is the case. So these are pretty benign diseases that we used to get over naturally, and now everybody's getting real scared of them, and we just need to take a big breath and calm down a little bit. And my second point is I want to encourage people to go back and listen to some of our previous interviews. Dr. Thomas Cowan in particular, October 29th of 2018, go back in our archives and look. Dr. Cowan's book, to me, is the most rational, logical, common sense, but also backed up by science, discussion that there is about this whole vaccine deal and how the immune system works and autoimmunity. We keep talking about autoimmune diseases. These are diseases where your own immune system is going berserk, going haywire, and attacking your own tissue. And Dr. Cowan laid out a very strong case for this huge explosion of autoimmune disease being in part because of the current vaccine schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And what he goes through so nicely in his book, and he's such a great teacher, is how the immune system naturally works, how God developed it to naturally work is there's two branches, really, of the immune system. Your first responders, called the cell-mediated immune system, and your, what I call the memory cells, your antibody-mediated immune system. So if you were a kid and got exposed to measles or chickenpox or any virus, your first responders, they just start working overtime. They start gobbling up that virus, and they start triggering the release of all these chemicals in your body, your own immune system chemicals. Think of them as weapons of mass destruction. Your own immune system starts spitting out histamines and leukotrienes and cytokines and all these chemicals to fight the bug. So it's the handguns and the machine guns and the grenade launchers and the flamethrowers and all these weapons. That's your first responders. That's your cell-mediated immune system fighting, fighting, fighting. Well, all those chemicals it's using to fight with, that's what gives you fever and snot and achiness and just what we call sick. That is a normal response by your immune system. Which, by the way, you can block that totally with some high-powered drugs, and you can give a virus to somebody, and they will not get fever, mucus, and achy. They won't even be sick. They won't know they're sick. You could have just injected them with all these viruses, and they not even known it. You need this cell-mediated response. It's there for a reason. It's trying to deal with this virus and flush it out. But in the background, all along, while your first responders are out there fighting, 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 you were Army, weren't you?
Right.
Is it the Marines that get out there first and fight? I should ask an Army guy that.
Well, it depends on what you're talking
That's
about.
That's true. It depends on circumstances. These days, it's the Navy bombers probably prepping first.
Yeah,
going.
Sure.
But anyways, your first responders are there fighting, fighting, fighting. But then the memory cells are in the background watching this whole thing and memorizing what all these different chopped up body parts of the virus look like. So your memory cells are taking photocopies of these little viral particles, and those memory cells for the rest of your life are going to sit there and just inside all your passages, inside your nose, mouth, lungs, stomach, and they're just going to sit there and wait for even a whiff of one of these viruses, measles or chickenpox or any other virus, cold, flu, to come across your border of your nose, your mouth, whatever. And that memory cell will immediately, those antibodies from your memory cells will attach onto that virus and immediately take it out, where you don't even get to the first responders. Because the body's so brilliantly designed, you don't want to be fighting the same virus with first responders your whole life. You don't want to have snot and fever and achy for the same virus every week, every 3 weeks, for the rest of your life. No. You see the virus one time, your first responders take it out. It takes about a week. You know, you're sick for a week. But then those memory cells are developed, the antibodies are developed, and those antibodies are there for the rest of your life. Take out that virus the next time it comes around or the next 15 times it comes around, and you'll never even know it.
Isn't it a little odd, too, that when you get a virus, it comes in through your nose, through your mouth, but when they inject it right into your bloodstream.
Yes, and that's a whole different response. When you inject parts of the measles virus into your muscle, you're bypassing the normal ports of entry. You have a whole different immune response to that. And that's my, I guess, my final point is this artificial, man-made, temporary immunity by a shot is not the same, and it's not as good as the original. And it comes with its own set of risk. As I've mentioned for the third time now, 400 plus deaths just from MMR that we know of in the last 13 years from the vaccine, not from measles. So there's certain risk for sure of just the shot itself. But the other risk is you're just not getting that lifelong immunity that you naturally would have otherwise. But then here's the other point of Dr. Cowan's book, and this is the big if this theory is true, and I think it is, and I don't see any leading contenders to knock this one off the number one contender for why this autoimmune disease epidemic is skyrocketing. These memory cells, these your second part of your immune system, the antibody system, what we're doing with the current vaccine schedule and pediatrics profession in general, we are suppressing your first responders. Tylenol, Motrin, cough syrup, stuff for snot. We're given all these drugs at the first sign of a sniffle. Let's give our kids all these things to suppress the fever, suppress the snot, suppress the achiness, and suppress the cough. Let's suppress our cell-mediated first responders. At the same time, let's do this very aggressive vaccine schedule starting at day of life one, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and multiple injections. I think it's upwards of 70 total doses by the time you're graduating from high school now. And that whole vaccine schedule is purposely designed to stimulate your antibody system of your immune system, your memory cells, your antibody system. So we're suppressing cell-mediated first responders. We're stimulating your memory cells, the antibody-producing cells. And here's what that does. According to Dr. Cowan's theory, which, again, I totally buy into because it makes more sense than any other theory I've heard of, we are telling the body to make tons of antibodies. What are antibodies? Antibodies are what attacks your own self. It's not only when you give an MMR shot, you're not just making antibodies to the measles vaccine. You're making an antibody to the glyphosate and the aluminum and the formaldehyde and the 30 other ingredients that are in that shot. You're making a whole smorgasbord of antibodies. So guess how they diagnose lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and Crohn's and MS and all these things. Most of these autoimmune diseases are associated with an antibody. Rheumatoid factor. That's an antibody your doctor can draw to see if you have rheumatoid arthritis. Anti-mitochondrial membrane antibodies. Smooth muscle antibodies. All these antibodies have different names, but that's the definition of an autoimmune disease. You have all these antibodies ramped up in your system. I mean, thyroid autoimmune is called Hashimoto's. We draw these antibodies all the time. It seems like half our patients have Hashimoto's. And the thyroid peroxidase antibody's high, and the thyroglobulin antibody's high. Why in the world is our memory cell antibody system of our immune system making so many different antibodies in our body? And all these antibodies are attacking our own tissues. Well, as Dr. Cowan says, it was a very successful vaccine program. You got what you intended. You got what you paid for. The point of the vaccine program was to bypass cell-mediated first responders and to stimulate the humoral or antibody production system, and it has. And so now we've got this rampant, rampant autoimmune epidemic crisis, which I won't even get into statistics on how many people are dying from autoimmune disease, which is a totally new phenomenon compared to 100 years ago. So we really need to take a big picture, step back, big picture, look at this, or take a small picture look. More people die from the vaccine than died from measles. I mean, this is just right there. That's enough to put a long pause on this whole mandatory vaccine, quarantine everybody, everybody be scared of this thing. But if you take a really deep dive and a really big look into this thing, you'll start to understand what I understand is, man, God's original design of this system was beautiful and perfect. And it goes to mention that 99%+ of death, of mortality from all these different viruses that we vaccinate against now, 99% of the death rate from those went away in the early 1900s prior to the vaccines. And that's what everybody forgets. And Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who's done an outstanding job in her book, Dissolving Illusions, which I highly recommend. And I've been trying to get her on the show, and she's very busy, but hopefully we'll get her someday. She's the one that first pointed this out to me. Go look historically at the mortality graphs, and there's this huge plummet, 99% plummet in death rate of all these different diseases prior to the vaccines coming out. Well, how could that be? It was because of sanitation and nutrition, diet and lifestyle. We're right back to where we started the show at, diet and lifestyle. All these diseases, chronic diseases, are rooted in diet and lifestyle, but the acute illnesses that used to kill us, they were cured by diet and lifestyle. When they cleaned up their environment, cleaned up the sanitation, washed their hands, put the garbage out in the dumpster instead of just in their backyard, when they separated their drinking water from their sewage water, and the basics, when they quit the overcrowding in the cities in Chicago and New York and Boston, when they brought in fresh vegetables into the big cities, all these epidemics went away.
What do you recommend for people who are going overseas? Because I know, like, our church is sending a, you know, they're going to go on a mission trip. Yeah. What do you do about that?
That's a multi-sided answer. If it was you, when I know your terrain, your environment, you have cleaned up your diet and lifestyle. So is this person a good diet and lifestyle person? Is their own immune system up and functioning normally? Is their first responders and their antibody system good and normal? Are they going to wash their hands? You know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to be worried at all. But are they a standard American
who eats a ton of sugar? Without a vaccine.
I would send them to the CDC website to look at what the CDC recommends. And then I would encourage them to go to the VAERS reporting site and see how many adverse reactions were reported for that vaccine. And then they have to be fully informed and make the judgment call that's best for them and their family.
Are any of these, like, if you go visit these places, are you required? Like, you can't go?
Certain countries won't let you in. Yeah, if you don't have yellow fever or something, I don't have it all memorized, but yeah, certain countries at the border, when they look at your passport, they won't let you in. So you have to take that into consideration. Are you really supposed to go? And if you are really supposed to go, you have to abide by those laws that that country has. You know, we have some amount of freedom here in the States still. We can elect to not get vaccinated in most states now, a vaccine exemption. But some countries don't, so you may not be able to go. Also, it depends on the environment. I mean, are you going to have access to clean, fresh water, good food? Are you going to sleep under a mosquito net or not? Are you going to be out in the rural area, in the jungle? Are you going to be in an urban area? I mean, there's lots of factors to consider. And that's what we do at Veritas, is we individualize our medicine and our recommendations for people. You can't make broad blanket statements for everybody, like we tend to do with the vaccine schedule. Everybody needs to be vaccinated. Whoa, wait a minute. What's my risk? And what if I got the measles? What would happen to me? I'd be sick for a week with some fever.
Well, I think if I had to go overseas, I'd definitely take my hydrochloric acid with me.
And yeah, and that we haven't even began. We don't have time to get into all the treatment options. Dr. Rowan, which I hope to also get on the show, went to Sierra Leone with his team and took his ozone generator and did IV ozone and killed Ebola, according to published study that he published in the Journal of Transcendental Medicine, or I believe was the journal. But and my goal is to get him on to talk about that, because there's a whole world of treatment options that are not conventionally taught. You know, I have had Dr. Thomas Levy on here talking about vitamin C, and he referenced all the journal articles in the 1940s and 50s most of which were published by a doctor in North Carolina, Dr. Renner, R-E-N-N-E-R. Dr. Renner was, I believe it was 60 out of 60 cases of polio reversed, symptom-free in 72 hours with high-dose vitamin C IV. So there's IV vitamin C that's been proven to be beneficial with some of these bugs, ozone, UV light, other modalities. So I just wish we had an open, informed ability to talk about, debate, and educate. But unfortunately, money drives this. Pharmaceuticals are at the, you know, at the base of our curriculum in med school and at the base of these vaccine programs. Unfortunately, when you walk into Walgreens in the wintertime and you hear them on the over the intercom talking about how you can come get your flu shot, come now, and it's on every billboard,
the corner of happy
every
and
clinic.
Healthy.
We'll do a drive-through flu shot. Money, 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 money.
Nice. Mm-hmm. As always, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, of course, you're the cure right here on AM 580. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. That's veritasmedical.com. Thanks, Dr. Edwards. We appreciate it, sir. We look forward to seeing you back here next Monday on the show. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you back here soon.
Thank you.